This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Pitch on the way. Fernando swings, sends it in the air to deep right center field. Edmund is back. This time all he can do is watch. It's going to go. Another home run. Padres with their sixth home run of the night. Fernando with his second. It is 10-1 at Dodger Stadium.
And with that, the National League Divisional Series between the Padres and Dodgers is even at a game apiece as the teams take a day off today and then get ready to go back at it, games 3 and 4, right here in San Diego, Petco Park, tomorrow night and Wednesday. Welcome in, everybody, to Gwynn and Chris on a off-day Monday as we roll along here during the 2024 Major League Baseball playoffs. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., and Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. And I will say, right off the top, Tony Gwynn Jr., I really didn't feel like coming on here today and having to explain to everybody how it was that the Padres were down 2-0, trying to keep everybody's hopes alive of a 3-game sweep. But luckily, the Padres did not put us in that position. They brought the heavy lumber last night to Dodger Stadium, and that's going to be remembered, right? 6 home runs, tying a postseason record. But what I'll always remember about that game last night was a master at his craft. At the top of his game, Yu Darvish with a brilliant performance. Tony, to help the Padres get even.
Matt, you all right over here, man? You see, this camera is like...
Yeah, what are you doing, Matt?
He's having a tough time today.
I'm trying to get Tony's camera set. You didn't need to call me out for it, but I am
Well, I just paused
time.
In what I was talking about, and obviously there was not a smooth transition there.
It was me.
We got it now.
All right.
So, Tony, we're even. 1-1. Yes. What do you think?
I can't say I'm surprised. This is kind of what this Padre team has done all year. They have I think Xander kind of put it perfectly. All losses in postseason are tough losses. Whether you win, whether you lose by 1, you lose by 10.
Right.
They're all tough. And the Padres have shown us all season long that after a tough loss, I mean, some of them seemingly gut-wrenching at times, they always bounce back as if it never happened. Last night was another good example of that. They set the tone early. Toddy goes yard. Following any, Profar takes a run off the board.
Oh, man, we got to talk about that.
And then Yu Darvish just was brilliant. I mean, it was a master class of, as John Smoltz said, manipulating the baseball at its highest level. And, you know, none of us should really be surprised by anything that happened last night. Maybe the final score you can be surprised with, but in terms of how they played and them getting a W after a tough loss, I don't think there's nothing to be surprised about. That was a it was a wonderful performance in a hostile environment. And you know what? The Padres, maybe Jerickson Profar himself, matched the energy that was in the building. And you know, it was really a it was a different way. Like, the Padres have, in this postseason, I said this on the air, the Padres in this postseason have beat a team by stringing together like six hits in a row.
Right.
They've played small ball. And they've also did what they did last night, was slug you to death.
Big boy ball?
Big boy ball. Yeah, it was big bully ball.
Yeah, it was.
That's what makes this team so dangerous. They didn't, listen, they had a chance to win game one, but they didn't complete their recipe, right? Good starting pitching, good offense.
Bullpen wasn't great, though. And the defense wasn't great.
Well, that's what I'm saying, in the game one.
Right.
In game
right.
one, yeah. They didn't have their recipe, yet they still had a chance to win that game late in that ball game.
Yeah.
Yesterday, they put their recipe together, and that's what it looked like. That's what it looked like during the regular season, and the way these guys approach it, I don't expect it to change because we're in the postseason now.
Yeah, they cooked up a marvelous performance last night, and it started with Darvish, as you said, as I said, as Smoltz said, as Alex Rodriguez. It was interesting because they went to the post game on Fox. I know you're in the radio booth, Tony, but you know, the guy brought him in. I think it was Matt Vasgersian hosting last night on the post game, and he goes, well, the Padres really, you know, six home runs and an incredible this and that and the highlights and the fireworks. And Derek Jeter said, it was really all about you, Darvish.
It was.
And
it really
he was right, and that's coming from a hitter.
Yeah.
And Alex Rodriguez said the same thing. It was about you, Darvish, last night. The Padres were playing really with no room for error. You know, you don't want to fall down 2-0. Your season wouldn't have been over, but you would have been in bad shape.
Yeah.
And you're holding on to a 1 or 2 run lead the entire game. Darvish cannot afford to wobble at any point. And with the help of his defense, he didn't. And I just loved it. I mean, Profar started it. That play is going to be shown over and over. We'll talk about that and everything that transpired in the wake of that. But Fernando made an unbelievable running catch to stop Freeman from getting a leadoff double. Arise picked one out of the air on a hot ground ball. Manny made one of his great plays in the eighth inning to throw out Tommy Edman, but it got overturned on replay. Doesn't change the fact it was something that no other third baseman could do. So defensively, they were just, you know, superstars out there. And, you know, Darvish led the way, but then they got the hitting going. I mean, Fernando is absolutely insane right now. He's got a 1400 slugging percentage. He's got a 2100 OPS in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That'll get it done. You know, look, Merrill has just, I know that you can't vote for the rookie of the year now, but I know Paul Skeens isn't doing anything at the moment. And Jackson continues the 3 RBI game, the home run to the opposite field, Tony. That's at Dodger Stadium at night. Speak to how difficult it is to get the ball up and out of there to the opposite field in nighttime in L.A. Not easy to do. He just put a charge into that ball. Higashioka's got 3 home runs in 4 games.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I mean, you know, what Jackson's doing, the same thing he's been doing. Nothing's changed.
I know, nothing's different.
Nothing's changed. He is this. He's a flat line, you know, in a high version of that, right? How difficult? I mean, it's the same as hitting at one at Petco Park. How many times we see him go Apple Taco here?
Not too often. But him, he can do it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he did it. He's done it multiple times, opposite field here at Petco Park. So, again, nothing surprises there. I think, you know, typically you got an inning to get to good pitching. You got one of them early innings before they settle in. The Dodgers had their shot. Second inning, they had the bases loaded, no one out.
Yeah.
They got one run. And that is a testament to Yu Darvish and how good he is.
Didn't he look rattled after the bases were loaded?
Did he look? No.
That's what I mean.
Trick question.
It was a trick question. I was rattled. I'm sure every Padre fan in existence was rattled. But the guy who needed to stay calm was just fine, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there was one hit in 7 through 9 in that Dodger lineup. The night before, they had five hits at the 7, 8, 9 spot. And to me, that was the difference.
That's a huge deal because if Ohtani comes up with nobody on, you can deal with it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's a different game when you don't. That was the problem. And Mike Shildt highlighted it before the game.
Yeah.
7, 8, 9 went, let's see.
Well, they had
two for four, 1 for 3.
And 2 walks.
And two walks.
So they were on base 8 times in that first game.
And
that's
so,
way too many.
Guess what that means? Ohtani's coming up in damaged situations.
Ducks on the
pole. You know, that's a dangerous game you play. And so the following day, Yu Darvish, phenomenal. Kept those guys off the board for whatever. I mean, and by the way, he held Ohtani hitless in his time out there. So it was a masterclass in terms of pitching.
Loved
and how it's done. And now you've stolen home field advantage. And you get to run Michael King out there on game 3. You feel pretty darn good about that after the way he threw his first start. Padres are in a good spot, for sure.
Well, they're in the same spot they were a year ago, or 2 years ago, of course. And, you know, we have to remind everybody, just because they won games 3 and 4 here 2 years ago,
that's right,
doesn't mean the Dodgers are going to step aside and let them win the next 2 games. I still believe, Tony, with everything that's said, and we've hit on it here, it's still about playing the game well. You're going to have 100%. To play well. And in game 1... as you said, the Padres did not mix in all of their ingredients. Too many walks. You put Will Smith on after an 0-2 count. He ends up scoring the first run of the game. You wild pitch home another run. Manny makes an uncharacteristic error. That gave them an insurance run later in the game. And, you know, this is not to blame Jackson Merrill, but I fully expected him to catch that ball with the bases loaded. But I think it had a little more topspin on it. Tony, please speak to me about this because I know you've had to try to make that play. When he came in on it from the angle of television, I thought he's going to make a catch about ankle high, but it dipped just in front of him, and that was obviously a big play too. I don't hold that against them defensively, but overall it just wasn't their finest night.
Yeah, I think, there was runners on second and third there.
Yeah.
And they had to, at least guy at second had to hold up just in case he caught that. But I think, as I remember, was there two outs? There was two outs.
I think there was two outs, bases loaded. Yeah, they were moving, yeah.
I just thought that I don't know that ball had topspin on it. I just think he was playing deep enough.
Just playing too deep.
With Teoscar Hernandez.
Not too deep, playing deep, right.
He's playing where he's supposed to.
Yeah.
It was just going to be a tough play. And you, at that point, I didn't mind the fully go for it. Because as we just pointed out, with two outs, those guys are on the move anyway. They're scoring if it's not hot. So, you know, maybe next time you dive, because ultimately, but
right, Fernando did a good job. He was there backing up.
And that's where he's supposed to be, right? And so, you know, I didn't have a problem. I thought he played that as well as he could play it. I just didn't think he could get to it.
It was unfortunate.
He can't get to everything, right?
In that regard, that's right. So, but in game 1, I thought ultimately the Padres helped them score 2 or 3 runs. And we already know this. The Dodgers are so good, they don't need the help. Last night, they spent the game taking runs off the board. And that started with Profar's catch in the first inning. They're going to have to keep playing like that to beat the Dodgers.
I mean,
you've
really
got to play with very little room for error against that team, and I know the Padres know this.
Really, all of them. I mean, Arise made a nice play at first. Everybody was throwing the leather around a little bit in last night's game, and that was just a piece, one of the elements of, you know, how they have success. I mean, some of the at-bats, it was interesting because in game 1, Dave Roberts talked a lot about in past postseasons for the Dodgers. They kind of have set and waited for things to happen, and from an offensive standpoint, kind of set and waited for certain pitches. In game 1, they were aggressive on the fastball. They, and you know, Dylan Cease is a power arm,
right.
So they were ready. they weren't ready for what Yu Darvish in that mix. I mean, the type of spin, and you know, John Smoltz mentioned it. You brought it up about him being one of the. I think he said that. He said
he's the best he's ever seen.
Best manipulator he's ever seen.
Yeah,
and so that was on full display, and the Dodgers just didn't have it. They didn't have an answer for it.
It was awesome, but all it is 1-1. I know it feels like the Padres are in the driver's seat, maybe to a certain extent they are, but it's just one win. It counts the same as the Dodgers win in Game 1. You're going to have to do it all over again two more times to get through this series.
It would be silly to think that they're in the driver's seat. We do have that. Jerickson Profar.
I'm looking forward to hearing this, and now that I'm looking at the time, we're going to have to come back with it on the other side.
Yeah, well, that's perfect. We'll come back with it. We'll talk about his catch and what it meant and what it all led to at Dodger Stadium last night. We'll also tell you about tomorrow's plans. We are going to be broadcasting live down in the Gas Lamp tomorrow at Baja Rick's Cantina. So we'll tell you all about that, and we'll tell you what's coming up on the show today. You are going to feel like you are covering the National League Divisional Series during our program today. We're going to take you live down to Petco Park a couple of times on the show. So all of that to come. We're here until 4:30, Scraby?
Yes, 4:30.
Why did you look over there?
I don't know, Tony.
I turned it down. You keep hearing the bing. You hearing that?
Yes, but I didn't say anything.
Oh, I know, but I just want you to know. I tried to turn this thing down.
Okay.
So, all right, we got a
thank
lot
you.
To
do. Thank you for turning that down, Tony. I appreciate it.
A lot to do. And
yes, 4:30. Sorry, Chris. Okay, Chief Saints.
We have a lot to do, and as you can tell, we're smoothly going about our business here.
Just like we do.
Yes, like we do on Gwen and Chris. Welcome to it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
1-0 Padres, bottom of the first. Mookie swings at the first pitch, sends it in the air to deep left field. Profar is going back. He is at the little wall. He will leap into the stands, and he can't make the catch. A home run. Profar had a shot, but he had to go into enemy territory. Did he end up catching it?
He did indeed.
Oh, my goodness. Profar did go into enemy territory, and he does make the catch, and unbelievably, the Padre lead is still 1-0.
Now, I know if my man, my partner Jesse, is listening right now, he is probably livid.
Oh, he'd be mad at himself.
That we played that.
But how is he supposed to know?
He's not. And I'm going to give you the full breakdown of how this
goes. And it's actually a perfect call, because that's what everybody thought.
It is a perfect call.
The graphics went up on the screen.
Let me tell you.
Right, the graphics went, the umpire signaled home run.
And that is what Jesse's looking at as the umpire. They're the official guy.
You're the guy.
They're the official guy on the field. And once they do this, they give that circle sign.
Sure.
That's a homer. And so that is what Jesse's going off of, because he's figuring, you know, the umpire's not going to call that unless he knows that it's a homer.
Yeah, I think Jesse's call is perfect.
It
if
was
you're
fine.
Out there, Jesse, don't fret that one.
Now, I have the luxury of being, first of all, and it doesn't help that our booth is situated, it's already towards the left field line. So you're you're fighting through that camera line that they have there. You got the foul pole. And just the kind of way it arcs around, it's kind of tough to see from our angle.
Yeah.
And so I have the luxury of, because I'm not actually talking at that point, I'm just watching the ball, watching Jerickson. I saw it immediately. But, you know, I can't, in the middle of his call, like, jump in there and say something.
You did it perfectly as well.
I was trying to negotiate, you know,
how
to get his attention. But
sure.
He's locked in on Adrian Johnson. And so, Adrian Johnson's the one that screwed the call up.
He did. When you speaking for those of the rest of us who watched it on television, I thought that it was an optical illusion. And what I mean by that is, watching it the first time, I thought he caught it. But when they put the home run graphic up and Mookie Betts is raising his arm, and basically the broadcast is saying it's a home run, I thought I just didn't see it right. You know? And then when he hopped up and down, Profar, I thought he was hopping up and down because he was mad at himself that he missed it. And then, you know, oh, man.
See, I
the
read
joy
it.
When they found out he really caught it was incredible.
I read it differently because he was still, like, you know, if you're going to jump up and be upset that you missed, you're going to kind of turn away from the crowd because the crowd is going to be, like, in your...
True.
They're going to be in your face.
But the fact that
he was staying right there, and that was also the confirmation for me, because I thought I saw it going, but then when I saw him, like, multiple times jump up, not turn away from the crowd, I was like, you know what? He definitely caught that. And sure enough, he pulled it out of his glove. It was a tremendous play.
Yes,
like,
it was.
Getting to the wall, timing it, and I think it psychologically, you just literally, in their Dodgers' mind, they had one on the board right there.
Yeah.
And then it comes off the board.
Ha ha! You took it off the board, Fernando.
I feel so bad about it, too.
I don't. But you know what? That was just the beginning of Jerickson's evening with the left field bleachers.
Yes, it was.
And whatever happening transpired around the seventh inning, you know, it's something almost everybody's talking about in lieu of, you know, Darvish and in lieu of the six home runs. Everybody's talking about, oh, the Dodger fans, they behaved awful. They did. They throw stuff on the field. That's totally uncalled for. And, you know, I'm going to just right now implore the Padre fans, going to use what? Will Ferrell, right? Stay classy, San Diego. We don't need to do the same thing. We don't need a repeat of that when the Dodgers are here. Take the high road. There's less traffic, I think, is the old saying. So, you know, let's not do the same. Two wrongs don't make a right. But at the same time, Tony, you were there. You had the atmosphere. Fernando and Jerickson, they do okay poking the bear a little bit.
Of course.
And I think they kind of contributed to a little of what was going on.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I am a huge proponent of sticking it to the fans when you can.
Okay.
Because you don't get that. You don't get the hammer very often in the game of baseball, right?
Enough.
Like, you're going to make out 70% of the time. If you're really, really, really good, You know, you're gonna make a couple plays. You're gonna kick some balls around too, and they're gonna let you know about it every time you do it,
you're
especially
right.
on the road.
Yep.
And so I imagine even before the first ball was hit to Jerickson Profar, before he even stepped into the on-deck circle, he probably heard something about how terrible he was and what he wasn't going to do that
in
day.
In game one.
Not to mention what happened in game one.
Right?
So you make a play like that.
You think anybody yelled out that he might have been Mr. Irrelevant from the stands somewhere?
Yeah, I'm sure that was thrown out there quite a few times.
So,
yeah, Will Smith gives those eyes to Jerickson Profar. Like, he still has a little bit of hatred in him
Jerickson. Listen, what I love is that this is the type of series we have. I think it's great for baseball. People who are tuned in that don't watch baseball during the course, they're looking at the Padre-Dodgers series like, this is nuts.
It's going to be even crazier.
I need more of this. And
yeah,
so I'm not mad at Prof giving it to the fans. I think it's over the line throwing baseballs or whatever the objects were you were throwing at him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't mind. Them also. This is what playoff baseball is supposed to look like. Go if you flip the channel over to New York. You think it was any different in the New York Philly game?
I can't imagine Brandon Nimmo is getting Christmas cards from the left field stands in
Absolutely
Philadelphia.
Absolutely not. He was having words with Realmuto after his homer. So
yeah.
Listen. The bottom line is you got two really good teams that are really talented and that want to win more than anything. And when you get into that type of environment, you know, everybody's a little more sensitive. Everybody is going to react to pretty much anything thrown their way. And we saw that throughout the game, right? I mean, you had Toddy get hit.
Yeah.
Should we wait? We don't have a guest next. Let's hold on to that. Scrape, I think you have something to tell people.
I do, because this just came in right before the show, but Chris and I are going to be down at Baja Rick's Cantina.
Oh, I did mention that, but thank you for yes.
Yes, we have to give all the deets.
Yes.
It's a live broadcast. It's actually going to be all day long, so we're going to be there at 2, but Ben and Woods are going to kick things off at 6 a.m., followed by Annie and Elston, and then us. Baja Rick's is located at 176th Avenue across from the Hard Rock. It's presented by Santo Super Premium, additive-free tequila. Santa, work hard, play loud. So Baja Rick's Cantina tomorrow starting at 6.
Additive free tequila.
Awesome.
It's probably smoother.
You know, there's all these new inventions in alcohol.
What is that?
Weren't there when I was drinking, okay?
you got the bad stuff.
When
dog.
I was drinking uphill both ways in snow, okay?
You drank the worm at the bottom of the bottle.
I was so grossed out as a kid by that worm in the tequila.
Oh, yeah, I was too.
I didn't ever drink tequila in my life, really.
Just keep the animals out of my drinks, please.
And people love that worm. That's weird.
Let's get to break. We got a lot to cover.
No tequila worms?
No tequila worms.
Okay.
No, we got a lot to cover over game one, game two, when we return, including the little spat, if you will, between Padres and Dodgers. And we're going to Chris on the other side.
Pitch, Tatis launches that one in the air. Deep down the left field line. It is way back and gone. A home run into the Dodger bullpen down the left field line. Fernando gets him again, and it's 1-0 here in the first.
Padres get off to a good start in game two, just as they did in game one. But the outcome went San Diego's way last night. 10-2 the final. The series is even at 1-1. Day off ahead of game three here on Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. As Scrabe, you mentioned, tomorrow, join us at Baja Rick's Cantina, 176th Avenue. And we'll be broadcasting live from 2 to 5. The game starts at 6 o'clock or just after 6 o'clock tomorrow night. So come on by. Down in the gas lamp, spend some time with us in the pregame, and then we'll all head over to the ballpark for game three. Should also mention that the American League series right now between Detroit and Cleveland, pretty good game going on in game two. They're in the top of the sixth inning right now, scoreless. Tarek Skubal for Detroit retired the first 13 batters, struck out seven before allowing a double to Josh Naylor. Remember him? And Scooble then got out of that inning. They're in the sixth, and there is no score. Later tonight, the Royals and the Yankees, as the National League Series get a breather today. Coming up on the show at 3 o'clock, or right thereafter, we're going to take you to Petco Park. And Mike Shildt is going to be meeting with the media. You will be in on that press conference. And then a little after 3:15, tomorrow night's starting pitcher, Michael King, will meet with the media. And you will be in on that press conference as well. The only thing you won't be able to do as a listener to this station is ask a question of Mike Shildt. But you will feel like you were there. That's coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. In the 4 o'clock hour, we haven't forgot that the 49ers lost yesterday. We will have a good, bad, and ugly week number 5 of the National Football League. Scraby, where are you? Are you just not here when I'm making fun of the 49ers?
He wasn't paying attention. He clearly wasn't paying attention.
You didn't hear that? I was texting the boss.
That was a well-timed dig at the 49ers.
No, the 49ers are awful. There's nothing about it.
Wait till about week 14, Tony, when they're 11-3.
I'm not going to panic.
And then they'll go, oh, we're the greatest team of all time.
I'm taking my lessons from Padres baseball and transferring it to Niner.
You don't even take
Niner
your Padres
football.
Baseball lessons to the Padre games. Are you going to take them to the 49er games? How does this work?
2-3 is fine. If they keep losing fourth quarter leads to inferior teams, I might stop being
no,
a fan.
No, you just said, oh, brother.
Stop it.
You just said that they're horrible, so you can't say later on in the year that they're great.
No, I said they're okay. Let me rephrase that. They're terrible right now,
and I'm enjoying every minute of that. all right. last night,
yes.
There were so many different things to unpack from that game last night. Of course, the Padres hit a postseason record tying 6 home runs. I was at like in the history of postseason baseball. Like the Yankees never hit 7 home runs in a game in one of those World Series somewhere
That's
along
a lot.
The line.
Yeah. That's a lot of home
runs. It is, but you would have just thought, you know, Mickey Mantle and all those guys, but nobody's ever hit 7. And only 2 other teams had hit 6, I think, 2 or 3. So it was really something special. We talked about the Padres' defense was just off the charts, and nothing was better than Yu Darvish's performance. But a lot of people are going to remember this game for the bad blood that boiled over. Again, Tony, we're not surprised by this. We know what these teams think about each other. We also know that they both think they're great teams. And when you get 2 alpha dogs going head-to-head, it, to me, doesn't surprise that the things got a little testy last night. Now, Tatis got hit by Jack Flaherty, and it was a 3-1 game when that happened. Tatis certainly, I thought, showed his displeasure by walking ever so slowly down to first base. Profar came up, and then he had a word or two with his best friend, Will Smith, and then he settled in and took his at-bat, and I think he got aboard. Oh, he had the bunt. He laid that bunt down.
Which was amazing.
Beautiful bunt.
Great antagonizer.
It really
right?
is.
That's a
move out of my book right
that's
there.
That's a blood-boiling move.
That's a great move. Oh, are we going to do this? First, let me correct a couple things.
Yes.
Jerickson, I believe, was talking to either Doc Roberts or Mark Pryor. He was talking.
Oh, he wasn't talking.
He was talking
to Will Smith.
To the dugout.
Oh, he was.
Yes, for sure. Because you know, as he's saying that, as he's talking, I'm looking at Will Smith like he's not even like he's still got his head down. He's not even reacting.
I thought
and
he was
then
talking
Dave Roberts comes up the step because Jerickson's talking to the bench, right? Because I think the assumption is that Jack did that on purpose. Yeah. Now, that's a debate that I think both sides will be on the opposite side of.
I'm going to be on the Dodgers side. I cannot believe that he would try to hit him right there.
The way they had been swinging a bat to that, it'd be dumb.
Right.
To now put your leadoff guy on what ended up happening anyway.
That's exactly what Jack Flaherty said after the game. But I was listening to the radio broadcast last night, Tony, and you said it's a little... You didn't say it in these terms. You said he hit a homer and then a double, and then he gets hit, so it's a little curious.
So it's the optics of it.
The optics, yes.
Don't look good.
In a regular season game, I could buy it. But right. I just can't believe he did that.
I don't believe he did that person. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. The other team believes you did.
Okay, so you got an issue.
And in this type of environment, it's only, people are going to let you know about it. Now, another thing I say is this. What I think this generation of athlete is much better at, excuse me, is they know how to separate what's in between the line and what's outside the lines. Because, you know, I know that Manny and Mookie have a relationship, right? They are both Jordan guys. I know a lot of these guys know each other very well.
Fernando just did a podcast with Mookie.
Exactly. So, you know, in terms of them hating each other, I don't believe that's true. What I do believe is that they're down for their teammates under every circumstance. That doesn't mean they got to hate you in order to be down to have their teammates back. And I think that's where, you know, love the bump by Prof. It's just money, right? First and second. Now you got Manny come up. Now we get to the next altercation.
Yes, and this is where, without question, Flaherty, you know, I'm going to absolve him of hitting Tatis on purpose, but I'm not going to absolve him for politely asking Manny to sit down after he struck him out. So, will you please have a seat, sir? Wasn't that what he said? No? Did you look John Boy Media? Was able to refute that?
They definitely were able to refute that.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't so polite, as you say.
Sure.
And listen, I don't have a problem with that either, but you got to be prepared for the smoke that comes after that, right? And so,
yeah, right.
Manny, I don't think initially heard it.
I don't think he did.
I'm pretty sure that his teammates let him know what was said, and then Manny then it has to, you know, defend himself at that point. Because, listen, I don't care who you are. I don't know too many men that are going to let you get away with telling them to sit down.
Under any circumstances, when you're in that kind of
environment.
Here's right. what Manny said to Kevin Acey and reporters after the game. Quote, when you try to hit our best hitter, you can't get him out. Don't hit him. They got the best player in the game, right? Ohtani. We don't go out there and try to hit Ohtani. We try to get him out. Don't go out there and try to hit my guy. And that's when it went to Jack Flaherty saying, I wasn't trying to go and hit him to try and lead off an inning or anything like that. That doesn't make any sense. But Manny last night proved to me why he is the leader of this team, because he called that meeting in the middle of the game.
Does anybody still doubt that?
No, what I'm saying
I think people do doubt that.
Yeah.
But now hopefully they saw what they saw last night, so they can stop questioning.
Let me get to that because I think we decipher this the confrontation between Manny and Flaherty. That continues into the field. Flaherty, I watched him. He purposely went and sat at the end of that dugout and was waiting for Manny to come out there. So that drawing continues.
Well, there was one little thing that happened before. According to Flaherty, anyway, Manny, at the end of the infield warm-ups...
Oh, he threw the ball.
Threw the ball into the Dodger dugout.
Manny didn't deny that. He said he often does that,
but Flaherty said he didn't just lob it in there.
He threw it in her heart.
Put a little extra steam on it.
So, listen...
That was his excuse for coming out to the top step.
All is fair in love and war, right? And so these two, at this point, it's a competitive-natured thing, and so there's some drawing. But
we played really good baseball, man. Here is
the best part of the whole entire thing. I think at some point during that exchange, I think it dawned on Manny that, you know what? This is moving away from where
I need to be.
We need to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's what preceded that team meeting when they got into that dugout.
A beautiful thing.
Because it was real time leadership, like that you don't often get a chance to see. Because you don't often get a chance to see all of that stuff transpire and then the huddle. And it was like, I don't know what was said. There's no mics down there, but I'm almost sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, we have audio, actually, of Manny after the game, and AJ Casaville asked him about what was said in the huddle.
What's your message in the bottom of the, after the bottom of the seventh inning? All together.
Just stay focused, man. I mean, stay focused, packs in hand. We got seven outs, nine outs left. You know, go out there and try to finish out the game and stay focused and what we need to do and accomplish. You know, the game was far from over, so we had to go out there and continue to compete.
With all the shenanigans and all that, is that, like, given what you've done all season long, is that not surprising you?
Yeah, I mean, it's this team, man. This team has fought all year, and we're going to continue to do it.
I'm so glad. I hadn't heard that. What I was about to tell you was
just guy Adam Klug in the clubhouse.
That's what I was about to tell you was just what my guess was what was said. But it was exactly that. Hey, lock in.
Yep.
Stay focused. This ain't about none of that we out here right for. We are out here to win this game and win this series. So let's lock in. I thought that was just I thought that was very masterful of Manny. We used that word a couple times.
I hope that next year Manny's struggling at some point and people call up and say Manny's this, that, and the other. So we can remind them of what happened.
Yeah, no, it's inevitable.
Last night. That was sensational.
I thought that was that was fantastic.
That was. Now, and you know what my favorite part? You said your favorite part. Here was my favorite part. Yeah, I'll go meet you out in the parking lot. Manny to Flaherty.
Yeah.
Flaherty was ready to take it outside. I think Manny was ready for a moment, and then that's when he caught himself.
Wait, was there actual parking lot? Did someone say that?
But no, but when they were yelling at each other, when they were yelling at each other, that's what I perceived they were saying is, let's go meet outside.
And that, as a matter of fact, here's the deal. Even in the Milwaukee case, the Milwaukee team goes out a completely different side than the visiting team. And the same goes at Dodger Stadium. You'd have to really want to smoke.
You'd have to get a ride from the bus over to the other side.
They pretty much exit behind, like, in between home plate and third base is where the home team exits at Dodger Stadium. We exit out in right field. So you would have had to, like, he would have had to drive over there. And in that traffic, he probably ain't driving over there anytime soon. He'd have been gone. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, listen, that stuff to me is just like the extra stuff that, you know, nobody's really trying to throw from the shoulders like that.
Jesse Winker might deserve it, though.
Quite frankly, we don't want Manny throwing them from the shoulders right now. Can't have no broken thumbs, no broken hand.
No.
You know, none of that. So, but I love that these both teams matching the energy. Padres get the best of it, though.
Yeah,
that
was, John Smoltz, again, I'm going to quote him because I think he does a great job. But he said, if you even remotely like baseball, you are just an idiot if you miss games 3 and 4.
For sure.
Because it's just going to get more heightened. I don't believe it's going to get crazy between the teams, but I know it's going to get heated at least, 7 or 8 more times. I'm pretty sure the crowd is going to be loaded for bear. I'm going to say the same thing I said half an hour ago. Let's not do what they did. Let's not throw stuff out on the field. We
represent
don't need to do
the
that.
City well.
Yeah, that doesn't look good on anybody, but the atmosphere is going to be incredible. The games, the intensity, the level of play is going to be incredible. It's already been tense for 1 3/4 games. I think you're finally able to take a deep breath when after Merrill's home run, then Bogaerts and Higashioka, I was like, okay, finally.
Going back to the first game, after the fourth, I turned to Jesse and I said, hey, man, I hope they slow down at this point because I'm barely, like, we're going to be exhausted after this game.
Yeah.
And it ended up settling down and we kind of caught able to catch our breath. But
You know who was pretty exhausted after the game? Probably Joe Davis for all of his love of Shohei Ohtani during the broadcast on Saturday.
Here we go.
I know you guys don't agree with me
And I know all the people who sit in the nickel seats do agree with you.
Here's the thing. I on Saturday night watched that broadcast pretty closely, and I was not mad at Joe Davis. I was mad at the Fox graphic people for putting up when Shohei was coming up, maybe every single inning. And when it was too much for me was when they said he's due up fourth next inning. You get 3 outs in baseball. So if they get 3 outs, he's not coming up. Why are you saying he's due up fourth? Last night, way better broadcast. I didn't feel like there was a lot of pressure.
You just didn't notice it because the Padres are winning.
They did the exact same thing.
My wife mentioned it, so I know they did it last night.
They did the exact same thing.
You're trying to say that they only did it one night. Shohei Ohtani is the Michael Jordan right now. He's going to get that kind of coverage.
Manny said it in that statement.
Why shouldn't he? He's unbelievable.
He said Ohtani is the best player in the game. And he told us that when we interviewed him.
And so you know what? When the best player in the game is playing, regardless of whether it's the Padres or the Oakland A's or whoever it may be, they're going to put that little graphic up there. The dude started his own club this year. I would have rather him still playing for the Angels, quite frankly. But he doesn't. He plays for the Dodgers. So
now, did he pay
we
off?
Happen to be playing.
On his in his first postseason at bat,
let me tell you that was
incredible.
Let me tell you how different Shohei Ohtani is. They don't even put his numbers on the scoreboard when he comes to play. It is an advertisement for some type of face cream.
What?
Yes, it's the only player I've ever seen
that
in the history.
Is he the one advertising it?
It's him. It's
he's
him.
He's got on, face cream on?
He's got a face cream. They don't put no numbers up like everybody else.
20 homers, 50 RBIs.
Or his regular picture with his name like they do every. He's got a facial cream that is.
That is insane.
And that's how different he is compared to everybody
else. But I get that. Ohtani doesn't seem like a guy who wants to be different. He seems like a guy who honestly loves playing baseball, and he's just very good.
It don't
at
matter
it.
If he wants to be. He
can't help
he's,
it.
He's
a totally different animal.
He is. I get it.
You gotta cover him unlike any other
you
player.
Do. It's
too bad he doesn't play for us right now, but just deal with it.
Yeah. I mean, it is. The thing is, it's not a Padre thing. If Shohei and the Dodgers were playing whoever, if it would have been flip-flopped, if Mets came here, they would have been putting that bad boy up there, too.
I understand that. You know, I think it's bad when a broadcast claims to be neutral, but they're clearly favoring one player. If they put up Fernando coming up in two bats or whatever.
It's not the same.
They didn't put it up for Barkley. They didn't put it up for Ewing.
No one cares. NBA is so much different.
But I'm giving you the same thing. Ohtani's the Jordan of the sport right now. He's going to get different treatment.
I'll tell you who else they used it for.
Jordan didn't always score 50 points, but he still got the coverage.
Yeah, for sure.
Come on, Trey.
Best player in the league.
I don't expect Tony to know anything about the broadcast because he was working the game.
I'm telling you.
Here's the deal.
You're off base.
Sunday was okay. Saturday was too much.
I know.
And Sunday they won and Saturday they lost.
I know Joe Davis and John Smoltz. I know they aren't homers.
Then why did he say we, Joe Davis, about the Dodgers?
Get out of here.
That was me desperately hanging on for my argument, okay?
All right, when we come back, or shortly thereafter, we'll take you to Petco Park. Mike Schilt speaking to the media on this off day ahead of Game 3. Dodgers, Padres, more Gwynn and Chris coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!